Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, new season, the podcast about self-development, health, and spirituality. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Hello, Shushu. I'm sorry for all the... I forgot twice or a couple of times now to record.
Twice, yeah.
Cause
it's okay.
A couple of times because it's couple talks. Yeah, I don't know if I'm tired or I don't know, but forgive me, please.
No, it's forgiven.
Okay, thank you. So, welcome to the second episode of Couple Talks. We're just going to repeat everything again. We are on our honeymoon here in Portugal. We got married in April, and the first couple talks was after our engagement. And now it took us 2 years to do the second one after a few months after the wedding. So yes. First, a few things about the wedding, commitment, and everything that came up, why we took so long, or it's not that long, 2 years to get married, I guess, but every time we wanted to do it, I feel like one of us was not ready or stuff came up in the family. And you also shared before that, so when I was not recording, that you
I can also say something like, you don't have to repeat like the whole dialogue, you know, you can.
Yeah, you. I will let you talk. It's. I will. You will repeat this. See how we are arguing already. So, you were saying. I would like to start with that. Maybe that you thought that you had to do the wedding a certain way by inviting everybody. So maybe you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was not just inviting. It was this whole, I will call it, social contract, that the wedding in the original sense, how it maybe was a few hundred years ago, I don't know until when exactly, but when people were still in certain classes, or it was about land that one family gets from the other when a person gets married, or, you know, the family name, whatever. And I feel these things are nowadays are not so important anymore, or for me, not important at all. And so it was also finding a new reason to get married, right? And okay, you could say, yeah, it was this Corona thing that we heard stories about people that are not married, and then one partner had to stay, for example, in Germany, the other one in Switzerland, because my family is in Germany and we live now in Switzerland. So maybe that was also a bit into that. But for me, it comes down to really committing in a sense of, and I quote here my cousin who said, when you're together in a relationship, it's like a rented flat. And when you get married, it's like when you build a house, right? And I like metaphors, so I'd add another one. For me, it's more like, it's also like planting getting married is like planting a seed for a tree instead of just having the flower of a relationship, right? That can all the time just faint or whatever you call it. So it's really going next step and making preparing the ground for something to grow on the longer term, right? So for me, it really feels like, wow, we both have visions together, and we give ourselves time to this process, for this process to unfold. And that's for me what's the most beautiful in the relationship, that I always know this is the most powerful, even when we fight about stupid things, or sometimes one of us needs space and just wants to be alone. This thing comes always back, or that we can always talk about things that fascinate each us, right? Or I feel like this.
Like deep
I can
conversation.
Always tell you. Yeah, and it's almost, I think, I feel like that's how we met each other, you know, like we didn't start with, hey, what are you doing? You know, are you studying, blah, blah, blah. But we started immediately with, hey, what fascinates you, you know, and all that. And that carried through kind of, I feel.
That is pretty awesome. We can talk forever, and yeah, there's always something to share and new
ideas.
That's
why we do this podcast, because there's always something to share.
We always talk.
There will things. Maybe other things will follow. Who knows? Other podcasts.
So, yeah, hopefully. Yes, thank you for sharing that. But what I wanted to share about was more the fact that doing a wedding, like doing anything in life, right? Choosing a career path, whatever it is, it's always, you always think it should be a certain way, like the mass does it. And so for the wedding, we were also a little bit like, but who shall we invite? Then I need to invite this person. And then we should have a caterer. Remember, like at the beginning, we were really looking into, or I was maybe looking into it more, like what kind of food, what kind of dresses, whatever. And then I think by taking time, by taking those 2 years, we realized, and COVID helped, to be honest, by it helped doing it the way we wanted it to do. And it was super simple, and it was just the four of us, two witnesses and us, and it was so nice, no pressure. It was awesome.
So, yeah, and I feel this reflects also the process when you just mentioned it with the COVID, right? And I feel also in other areas, it feels like similar, that I realized more and more, okay, what do I want rather than what, you know, when you said earlier, what society expected this to be. So the same for me is true for my job or other things I do now, that I'm less and less worried about or concerned about what other people think or what's this social contract or the family expectations.
But this was a process, huh? So we were No, and
I think this whole wedding and Corona thing definitely brought things up that in the end helped it. So I think we can talk about this whole process also.
Yeah, so we dive into what COVID did for us, or?
Yeah, I mean, we can quickly just say with the wedding, I think we said it in the last podcast, that it was about commitment. So they also were, for me also, maybe some subconscious, I would rather say, fears came up. And then we did this, a lot of POV, and went through many topics, like about jealousy or about, for me, it maybe was more about losing my freedom. And it's, these two topics are still present, but I think we're finding better and better ways. And so I feel like some deep topics that were in us were just coming more to the surface through this whole process. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, because it could be a whole conversation.
Could be another podcast, yeah.
About the freedom and how it's an illusion. And So, yeah, and for me, I shared it when I was not recording. It was this realization, thanks to the psychology of vision work, thanks to our coach who helped us see what was really going on every time we were fighting. It helped me see that the relationship is a huge chance to work on myself, because it brings up the shit, basically. The things I need to heal, the things I need to have a look at. So there was no really any reason to run away anymore, because I would find the exact same things in the next relationship. So that for me was a bit.
But it's not about the other person being wrong or doing something bad, but it's about, hey, this person is triggering something in you that is there anyways, so you can either deal with it now or it will come up another time. So, and that's for both of us. We were like, okay, we fooled around long enough. Now let's just go for it. And let's also focus on, I think I can just talk for me that I felt like, okay, this whole thing of what is my purpose or what is my vocation? That's like the most present thing. And so for me, the relationship is something that it felt good and right to have more stability in it, right? Rather than I still see so many people that are constantly on the hunt, if you want, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the whole content of the life then, right? Because it takes so much time mm-hmm. and so much effort. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that this is kind of settled in a way that we decide. It's like it comes down to deciding, right?
Yeah.
It comes down to deciding for each other. And that transferred to me, I noticed in German it's Berufung, like my vocation, that the big difference in the end is the decision that you really decide and not just be like, maybe, let's see. And that's what I realized also.
Yeah. So what you meant is now your biggest point of focus is to build a career that you really want.
Yes.
And that's why having the relationship as a base, as a strong base, is really helping in this process, because you don't have to think about both.
Yeah, it's an anchor. It's a light tower, lighthouse, however you call it. It's a tree where you can always come back to and nourish yourself and what gives you stability, support. But also, yeah, support and inspiration. I think that's another very important thing. Like we said it, we always have, every day, we have so many inspiring conversations, you know. That's good, I can see.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's dive into the... And I mean, if people want to know more, or if you guys listening want to know about something specific, let us know and we'll do another podcast. We could talk forever about anything. So
maybe not anything, but many topics.
Yeah, not anything.
So
that was,
but
obnoxious.
Still send it and maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah. So let's dive. Something important to me, because a lot of people have been struggling, and of course me too, but I think Corona for us was pretty cool, and it's something we can share.
I mean,
now.
For me, I would say it was very eye-opening, and even though it was crazy, right? So for me, and that maybe that's what you mean with cool, because on the one side it was not good thing, like many things were crazy and people losing jobs, being alone, and we were lucky that through that time we had a stable job and we had each other, right? So we could use it. So I think that's why it was maybe cool for us. Or what do you mean with cool?
Yeah, you had just moved to Switzerland before the lockdown, the first lockdown happened. And that was because before you were living in the north of Germany, and that would have been crazy. But the fact that you came and we really started, I think, with just before Corona hit, to build a life together. You know, we were together before, but we were doing mostly long distance, and it was not really building a life together, I found. I found
when we were engaged, it was still like that, right?
Yeah, it was still like that. And I always felt like we had parallel lives because we were not living the same things at all.
Sure.
And yeah, so that was really nice, and I'm super grateful for that. And yeah, we had each other, and we were meditating a lot during that time. I just had
based on Dr. Joe Dispenza.
Yeah, but also I came out of Vipassana
also
a month before
Vipassana.
that, so I had a strong meditation practice. You did it a year before, so you also had one already. And then we discovered Dr. Joe, and we did both. And so we just meditated a ton, and life was so much easier. Also,
Yeah, I mean,
thanks
we
to
didn't
them.
have. Yeah. Sorry, what did you want to say?
No, that.
Yeah, so also I think the circumstance of Corona and this kind of lockdown that also was in Switzerland, not as strict and strong as in Germany, for example, but still it forced you a bit more going inward because you could not distract yourself, right? In the outside so much, you couldn't go to concerts or you couldn't go to the theater, whatever you would do normally.
Or see people. At the
or
beginning,
see people,
we were not even see, like people, everybody was scared and nobody knew what was happening. I honestly also didn't know really, but yeah, I was not seeing so many of my friends who lived in Basel, and that allowed me to do all this meditation and focus on my projects.
Yeah.
Because I have a big circle of friends in Basel, and I tend to always, I love my friends, I love you guys if you're listening, but then it distracts me in a way of not doing what I actually want to do, like a podcast or writing something.
Especially when you start with something, right? Because then when you start, it's not stable and it can easily fade away again when you're distracted, or you have other things like, wow, this could also be interesting. And with this Corona, I was only doing this Velocorrier, I think, at that time, and meditating basically. And with all this meditation work, and it was a lot about visualization also, you know, what you want, you know, if you can visualize your life as you want it, what would you want? And so it was like, okay, what is it really, right? So it was obviously not being a Velocorrier forever. And it was like, hey, come on. For me, it was like, hey, you have been doing these art things during your life, always doing projects and things, but I was always too scared to really go for it. And then I think you found something on Unimarkt, so for this Montessori kindergarten. And first I thought, yeah, it's just one of these side jobs, you know. But it turned out for me that this was a, it is a kind of day job, and it's 25%, but it pays all
the bills,
the daily the bills, all the expenses. And so it really made me, like, it woke me up even more, like, hey, too, now you have the time, you have the money, you have the resources. Now it's the time to go for it, right? To kind of live your wildest dreams, if you want, right? Job-wise, or I would call it vocation-wise, like the calling, because it's more than a job, obviously, for me to be an artist. And so one thing led to another, and a few months later, I also, due to you, a friend of yours, who was already in this kind of collective with people in the atelier.
Adrien, if you're listening, I know
Adrien.
You wanted to hear a second episode, so here it is for you.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
So it's, anyways, you have a space for your dedicated to your art, because at the beginning, you started actually painting and drawing more and more, but in the living room, and then
or more space. More outside, like plein air.
Yeah, outside, yeah.
More like this aquarelle. I could do it without an atelier, so I didn't have that urge. But then there was a point where I really started to have visions and projects where I would need more inside space and bigger formats, and then it was obvious I need an atelier, right?
So how did that change with your work? How did that feel to switch from outside to having your own space with all your art, with all your stuff there?
What it did to me in a sense of how it changed me as an artist or what?
For the vocation.
I think it, for me, it was really another step. It's a bit like outside was, is like you can always be anywhere and it's very, I don't know, floating around for me. Like when I think back of it, what was a lot of freedom, but also no commitment in a way. And now that I have the atelier, I committed to it and it feels that this is a big step towards being a professional artist because I have this physical commitment and yeah, the spatial commitment, and it's like my room, it's like a holy space, it's a I it's my energy, right? Also in the beginning I was with somebody else in there and I noticed, yeah, or we both noticed it doesn't work because I need my own space, you know, I need to have my own realm where I can create my own world if you want, right? That's also because the world around us is crazy, and so I think it also helps me to stay sane. That's what I realized, and it's a way to retreat and also to expand in a way. So I keep having ideas, and then I since a few weeks I'm working on a model. And yeah, like I will do an exhibition. What is also like an expansion of my drawings and paintings, right? It will be an installation. And yeah,
It's
I'm
gonna be
very
an
excited about
exhibition.
it.
Yeah. That's the
Yeah, but
taking
it's a whole
it.
concept.
Yeah.
It's a whole concept behind it. It's not just putting the paintings on the wall, but special lighting and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it's really this creating a parallel world, and it's my own world, right? It's not somebody else's that I'm just part of, or I work for somebody else's idea. I work for my own vision, and that's really the biggest difference.
Yeah, we're both really much into working for ourselves, and it's also not necessarily easy, right? I felt like a lot of you can also work on yourself a lot, just like in the relationship, when you start working for yourself, because I said this thing once. Working for yourself is working on yourself, because I don't even know exactly why, but all these things are gonna come out. You're gonna decide everything, right? You're gonna, which is awesome, but also it's very challenging to do everything and decide of everything at the beginning, right?
Yeah,
Because,
it's like walking your own path, right? Like when you
yeah.
go somewhere nobody has been going, and you cannot follow anybody anymore. Like
You cannot just.
you can still ask for the advices from people, but you always come to a point where you have to make your own decision and have to jump into this, you know, unknown waters
Yeah,
or walk this
exactly.
unknown path. And it's always there's always a moment of scarcity or a moment of resistance,
Yeah.
and other like old wounds come up or old fears come up. So it's always more than just this little decision. That's all what comes up through it, I feel.
Yeah, and everything is always new, and you cannot show up passive, right? I had an office job for many years, and I just knew what to do, and you show up in the morning or in the afternoon or evening, whatever. And you just sit there and you just go on autopilot and
Yes.
that's it. And which was not, I didn't like it, but it is the easier way, right? And when you work for yourself, okay, it's constantly, okay, what do I need to do on my website? And how can I improve my classes or my coaching or my art or whatever? And more marketing, more. Yeah, you can always improve everything. So,
There's a German saying, it's called when you're self-employed, so it's selbstständig. You are selbst und ständig. So that means you are on your own, yourself. And ständig means you all the time working,
constantly.
Right? It's constant. It's a constant process. It's like when you sleep, you think about things. When you wake up, so it's not just a job, but it's a lifestyle, really, right? Yeah. And so you have to really be sure that it's something you want to do all the time, right? Or you cannot live without it, right? It's something that calls you rather than just something you decide to make for the money, right? It must be much more than that.
Yeah, for sure. And so since we talked about COVID, we said we meditated more and then we chose to go. So you chose art because before also, if people didn't hear the first episode, you were still at that school and you were very much into singing. And that could have been a career path
and acting
as well.
Yeah. Acting as well.
So.
And it still was when Corona started. This when I was at the Veloco, I almost participated in a project. Was a crossover between acting and
dancing.
Musical. Mm. And also, I had an engaged. I could have spoken on a. It's like, it was like a book. Messe, like a Buch Messe somewhere, and it was the opening thing where they said like 1,000 people. So I was really into this speaking and acting and singing thing, like performing arts basically.
Mm.
And then Corona came and all these things were canceled. Mm. And then I questioned, wait, is this performing art? Is that really what I want? Mm. Is what my heart desires? And is that what I... Or is it just a recent thing because I was doing the school and I think I realized, hey, what is really in me is this visual art, right? I've been drawing forever since I was a kid, also in school. So this was really something since my childhood. And I feel almost that often the vocation or the things, your heart is calling, you already did as a kid. Mm-hmm. Somehow, like not in the exact same way, like you didn't do podcasts, but still a part of it, it was already there, maybe, I feel. Or I just also hear that from many people saying that.
They always ask you, what did you like to do as a child? And I wrote about it also. But it's hard for me to kind of answer this question, because when I was a kid, I didn't do much, you know, I did a little bit of everything, like, of course, drawing and playing outside and reading and different things like that, but nothing in particular. I didn't like sports. I didn't like, I don't know. I was not into one single thing already at that time.
Yeah.
And so it was... This was a really tough question to answer, but then I realized, well, actually, I was not doing much, and that's how I can connect the dots with now, helping people relax and this slow living thing. I think I was living that as a kid, just enjoying life, like eating and
the sloth kid.
Yes. So
your favorite animal was the sloth already, like everybody had that dolphin or monkey or tiger.
I like
no, I'm just kidding.
I don't think I knew what a sloth was at the time. It was not really now it's super hipster and popular, but back in the days it was this creature from Central America. I didn't hear about it. There was no internet. Anyway, so let's not get too much into detail. But so you decided you felt this calling for visual arts, basically. And also your first training was in stonemasoning, however you
And
said.
Sculpturing, yeah. So that was for sure. And before that, even in 2017, I won this youth award for art, like Jugendkunstpreis, in also in sculpturing. And maybe that was the first thing that was like, hey, Till, you can do that as a professional. But that it took a while until I allowed myself to really go for it. But there was still so many resistance and so many doubts and like, but cannot make money with it. Or, or the art schools I went to didn't convince me. And I had many excuses and it took me a long time. And I think that's often the case with things. It's not like immediately, or some people maybe it's so obvious they just go for it, but I feel in many areas in my life I was taking so many side roads, side tracks. But now I
Detours.
feel detour, but it now in retrospective I feel like these detours, they are enriching what I do now and they're helping it, and at some point it will all come together, right? That's why I'm more and more interested in this whole installation things, because there I can integrate also like making little movies of it or integrating sound, and at some point also probably integrating dance and acting. Like when I see artists who do these connected, like how to say, interdisciplinary. I don't know how if that's the English word. Like having different multidiscipline things. In the end, that's what I find fascinating, because life is basically a multidiscipline thing, multi-task, not task thing in a way that you do everything at the same time, but it's like it's every day, even like. There's this task of, I don't know, making food, the task of cleaning, the task of finding things like how you like to move, or all these areas in your life, your health, your spiritual practice. It's all like you have so many areas in your life. And so for me, art is also not exclusive. Like I'm a painter, so no, I can only paint, but to me, it's like the drawing and the painting is a basis, but my vision is to create a whole like world or a whole new thing that makes people see the world in a different light,
Yeah,
right?
but also
So,
for people listening to that, then if someone is only painting, is also totally fine. Huh? You this your the
that's
way
just
you
a
see things and the way you do
because I'm
things,
yeah.
you're multi-hyphenate person. I read a book
Yeah, and
on.
I think we both like this, right? And we struggled with it for a
It's
long
annoying.
time.
I
And it
still don't
still
accept
is,
it
because it's this whole thing of focus, and you should focus on one thing, otherwise you cannot reach depth. And I think it's true. You need to focus for a certain time on something like that. Now I do this coaching for art, and it really is about, okay, so what is your for example, your unique selling proposition, and what makes your art special, and what do you want to communicate? To ask all these questions to really be like, okay, to look at it not just as something that randomly happens, but that there is something behind it, Also my biography plays into it, and so I can communicate that to people, and I can also know better what I want to express. So for me, it is it's finding like seeing this multi-hyphenate or multi-potential, whatever you call it, finding a strength in it, and being aware that yes, you need to focus on one thing for a certain time to reach a certain depth, certain depth in depth in
Expertise,
it, expertise. But then there will be a point where you can include all the other things again, right? So you it, and it, that it's always a process. It's always evolving, and the personality is just there, and seeing it as a strength helps me a lot to to not
judge yourself.
How do you say? Judge yourself for being so difficult, right? Or not being like, yeah, you should decide and you should do this thing. And kind of I decided not to be an artist, but that is such a rich world for me. And that's why I love it, because rather than a stonemason, what is really like specific, an artist can always expand. And I really like this option or this approach to life, because life for me is somehow constantly evolving and expanding. So I want that to be reflected in my vocation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Shushu. And do we want to share anything else about COVID?
Do you want to share something about it?
Yeah, maybe just for people struggling with it. And actually, I want to share that thing that so we were surfing the past few days and were taking surfing lessons. And I was so scared. I don't think I've ever been that scared. The fear was always a little bit here, but this year it's really intense. And actually, a guy who was with us in the surf said, I could share many things about surfing, but one of the students, he said, oh, can it be COVID? Can it be the fear because of this whole COVID year? And I was like, I live in Switzerland. It was awesome. And no, it's not that. But then I thought of it and I thought, yeah, maybe if the fear is in the collective, or, you know, if you... It's going to get a bit more holistic, but if you believe that you feel things of other people, mm-hmm. and yeah, then this vibration or this emotion, whatever it is, you're going to feel it too. Even though for us it was a pretty good time, maybe I got affected by it as well, and it shows in the surfing. And it's not, mm-hmm. I don't want to blame it on COVID that I'm scared of surfing. I don't want to do that. But it was an interesting, that it was interesting that he mentioned that. And at first I was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe. And so for people who find it difficult, COVID, I just wanted to share me that. I did too, and it's not that we're immune to anything, but maybe some tips or some realizations about it that we want to share with people. That you talked about it before we started the podcast in the kitchen.
About what specifically?
That it's the time to go inwards.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like however you see this whole COVID situations, like on a political or health way. But one thing for me, I realized is that it kind of forced me to go more inward and to be more radical with, hey, what's really important, right? Because crazy things like whatever it is nowadays, like whether it's COVID or climate change,
nature.
You know, it feels like the world is going a bit crazy for me. And so I'm like, hey, if the world is going crazy, also makes me realize something bad can happen, or you can die even. And that was there before, right? It's not just our time. Mm-hmm. It was always there. But these mm-hmm. kind of things, they make it more obvious again, mm-hmm. how quickly things can change. And that mm-hmm. helped me also to be like, okay, if things change so quickly, why not go for what I really love to do and what I always felt called to? And I always was finding excuses. And now it's like, okay, you know what? All these excuses, they're not going to bring me anywhere. So let's just go for it. And I think it's also somehow made me accept that failure is a part of this this process, and I always used to play it very safe. And now these things on the outside made me realize, hey, there is no real safety, right? Like, it's an illusion. So just live and see what happens. And if you kind of fail or things happen, you will find a way how to deal with it. And for me, it's in surfing, it's a bit like that. I must say, I didn't have so much fear. It's not so much when these things don't scare me so much. But it still was very intense to realize that I cannot control the wave. You know, it's a force of nature. And if I don't act accordingly, it will run me over, right? So it's not in my control. I can just learn how to use it properly, or to dance with this energy, how to surf the wave. And so, I think, yeah, maybe you can share this, what the teacher said with the fear, right, about nature. I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I will write a blog post about it as well, but sure. So the teacher knew I was scared. He saw it, and the other coaches from the day before told him, and he said, if you show waves, nature, your fear, it will use it against you. Something like that.
Or it will throw it back to you.
Yeah. And I was like, fascinating. Yeah, sure. Makes sense. But I couldn't really... No, that day it was fine. It was actually really fun. But yeah, it was really interesting to observe that fear also the past few days, and how it changed, how it evolved and went away and then came back. And yeah, it was very interesting. And I also thought maybe it's a fear that it... that has been here for that is coming out of me more, and in the surface triggering it, and it's not necessarily just the ocean, it's more in me or with COVID or whatever. And yeah, it was interesting. It was not fun, but interesting.
And what I also find interesting, that on the one side you love the ocean and you like to be at it and to look at it, and on the other side you fear it. And maybe that's a very old human thing. And I think even in Spanish, it's there's two words, like la mar and el mar or something. Like, one is for the pretty ocean when it's nice and sunny and you're on the beach, and the other one is when there's a storm and it's very scary, because the ocean has both sides to it, right? It can either give you joy, but it can also destroy you. And I feel that's true for most things in nature, right? They're always ambivalent, and so are we as humans, since we, in the end, we are creatures of nature, I feel. Or it's just how I can tell for me. I can be so extreme to so much joy and bliss, also you in a relationship, and then on the other side being so angry or being so frustrated and being feeling so disconnected and so, or doing dumb things. And yeah, like, I feel like as a human, I'm always in between this. On the one side, there's this whole spiritual world, and I feel like I'm an extension of this divine energy, or this source energy, however you want to call it. But on the other side, I'm a creature of nature, and I have these deep dark sides in me, or these, I do these dumb things, or I'm very, yeah, I have this anger or whatever it is, right? It's these two sides. I'm always in between, and I feel as long as I live, it will be part of it. And also in my art, I feel like it's always just this ambivalence thing.
Thank you. So time is now. Do what you want to do. There's no excuse, no time to waste. I think that's what COVID brought up. Yeah.
And it's about starting, right? It's about deciding to go for it. And then things will come. Like I feel when you decide for it, all of a sudden there's doors opening or opportunities coming that you could never have imagined before. And they only can come when you make the decision, I feel, right? Mm. It's like as if the decision gives this, whatever you call it, fate or universe or luck, you know, gives it the permission to show you things and, you know, open your eyes and open opportunities. So it's very important to make a decision, I feel. And even if you feel it's the wrong decision, but it's not really wrong because you will learn so much on the way, and or you will realize like, okay, that was just a dream and it's really not what I imagined it to be. And then you can let it go. It's also good, right? So you cannot lose, really, I feel.
You cannot lose. You cannot fail. Okay. Thank you. I don't want to make it too long. Can we stop now? Or one more important thing, but not like too long?
No, I think it's just about finding the courage to overcome the resistance somehow. That's the work, to find this courage. Voilà. Yeah. For me, that's the thing.
Yeah. Thank you. And if you guys have questions, that let us know. You can comment on the blog. And yeah, let us know if you have other questions or if you want us to talk about something specific.
Like struggles you have, and maybe we also have them and we found something helpful for us and we can share it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Or going deeper in something we just scratched the surface in on today.
Yeah. Let's go enjoy the sunset soon.
Yes. Bye. Thank you for the podcast, Shushu.
Thank you, Shushu. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye, everybody.